You're listening to The Training Dummies. With Rob.
Darkness stopped calling. It's all right, though. We're still friends through real ID.
And Daryl.
If someone asks, I always tell them healing is easy. It's exactly like killing, but in reverse.
All right, greetings and welcome to episode 125 of The Training Dummies. Recorded on April 19th, 2016. This is where I improv the intro, and I'm actually reading that right off the notes today.
One job.
Good, I like this.
One job.
It's quick.
Exactly. With me, as always, is Rob. How you doing this evening, Rob?
Doing all right, man. And I got the Tracer hype going on.
Oh, yeah. I got that, too. I just haven't had a chance to get in there, but... tomorrow, after I secure my BlizzCon ticket, I'm sure I'll be in there.
An optimism.
Yes. And that other voice you hear, let's give a big Training Dummies welcome for the second, actually maybe third time, Monkio.
Second. Oh, yeah.
We're going to go with third.
Yeah.
Third.
BlizzCon.
I like third.
Yeah, because you were like an official host at BlizzCon.
That was interesting.
For the con, yeah. The con before the storm. Oh, man, that turned out really well. That was a cool event.
Good.
A lot of stuff. Thanks again for joining us.
Yep, my pleasure.
For the 2.5 time on the show.
Yeah, I hope you guys have time, because I could talk about healing for hours. And, you know, so just brace yourselves, I guess, for some parts of this.
That's good.
Expectations here.
Well, we swapped up some of our normal getting to know you questions because we've done this before. So we'll jump into some of these other kind of extended version getting to know you 2.0 or 2.5, whatever it is, and then we'll get into the topic tonight. What are you planning to main for Legion so far, based on your experience?
Right. So the current plan is to go with the rest of Druid. I have played Mistweaver since Throne of Thunder, and I really enjoyed it up until Legion Alpha. Up until Legion Alpha raid testing, mm-hmm. I actually really enjoyed Monk for dungeon testing, like when they just had the dungeons out, the heroic mm-hmm. dungeons and normal dungeons.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed that because I think they have a good kit for that. But after doing a lot of raid testing, I've just come to the conclusion that I think I just enjoy the Druid healing in Legion better.
I don't want to hear that.
I'm not sure if, like, you know, there's still a lot to be done with tuning, and they could possibly add something to Monks that I'll go over later why I think that. But for now, it's rest of Druid, but it could change.
So you're saying going into Legion, I shouldn't delete my Druid?
Should not delete your Druid. No, they look really good. I was taking a heroic raid boss at one point on my rest of Druid, so... It's got some amounts of utility.
So we'll be expecting the Druidio.
Oh, for sure. For now.
The whole rebranding.
I don't think I can do that so far. I don't think people want to say that. I think for some reason Monkio might just be more, you know, pleasing to say.
Awesome.
Nice. Do you have any tips to prepare for raiding in the new expansion?
Yeah, so I would say what we've been doing... From our guild's perspective, we spend a lot of guild resources and personal resources on buying like new gear right before the new raid comes out. You know, like BOEs. Yeah, I don't know how they're going to do all that. Yeah, because like in WoD, you had like the black market auction house, which I don't think they're going to make that mistake again. You know, offering really, really, really good gear really early for gold. I hope they don't make that same mistake again. I hope they learn from their mistakes. Gathering, you know, stocking up on gold is really important for any new expansion, if you're raiding or not. But that's going into the expansion, you know, and then once you're there, you know, what's really important is you do a lot of content. You do a lot of combat content, like dungeons, but mostly just dungeons until, you know, raids come out, because pretty much every spec has changed. And quite a few of them drastically so. That's one of the reasons I'm swapping from Monk to Druid. I just don't particularly like the new changes, but whatever you decide to swap to, if you stick with your main, whatever it is, you know, run content over and over and over, try different things, figure mm-hmm. out, you know, what's good, what talent setups are good, maybe switch around some stats. Don't look at maybe I mean, look at like your DPS, but try and keep it consistent. You know, don't look at a 3-minute boss and compare it to a 6-minute boss, because those are going to be very different. You know, look at the same boss over and over and over and see how you perform with different setups, and then take that information into a raid and see how it, you know, if it translates well there. And then for the actual raids, once we ever get there, just watch the boss guides. There are plenty of good content creators that are making boss guides. I really like the Fat Boss guides. I really like that their setup, and they do a really good job with going over every mechanic and, you know, just talking about the bosses. And it's a nice thing they do. So definitely take advantage of that.
There's a few out there like Preach and Belluar that do a little more of the class and spec specific stuff. And they're even doing those right now during the alpha. So if you're wanting if you're not in the alpha and you're wanting like an early peek at some of the classes that you may or may not, you may want to move away from, or you may want to get into, then a quick search on YouTube will turn some of those up. And those are really good.
Yeah. I was just going to say in Hellfire too, there was, I can't remember who did it, but there were 2-minute raid videos. I found those really helpful. Like, if your raiders have a short attention span like ours, those are really good. Like, really good. Yeah.
I think it was Line of Sight.
Yes, it was. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that's
the one. I did the dungeon race with those guys. Y'all remember that?
Oh, yeah.
Project. Oh, okay. Cool.
You guys were in that. Those were nice guides, too.
Yeah.
Totally. I would just say, like, as a note, like, if you don't have access to alpha, like you're not able to play it for whatever reason, either you didn't get an invite or you got an invite and you trolled on a feedback thread and you got it removed.
My gosh.
Don't make the mistake of choosing a class before you played it, because, you know, what something sounds really good might not actually play very well once you get your hands on it. So if you don't make any big decisions until you can actually play it, which hopefully they open up the beta, you know, obviously within the next 4 months.
I've seen a lot of the some of the bigger name streamers and whatnot already prepping for their, you know, we're giving away 200 keys for. You know,
oh, really?
Yeah, I've seen
That's
a couple.
Crazy. I didn't know that.
Couple. I don't think anything's gone out yet, but I have seen some like pre-announcements. So I believe Blizzard is working with some of the more well-known people out there.
That's good, because they need to get that started soon.
I believe it. Now that we actually have a date of August 3rd.
Yep.
Do you think that any of the other Blizzard properties are going to be stealing your attention away from Warcraft?
You mean once Legion launches?
Yeah, pretty much, because right now there's not a lot going on.
For me, no, like, because we'll be in such, I don't want to say panic mode, but we'll be we'll be in a rush to, you know, level up X amount of characters, gear up at those characters and get them raid ready. I don't know how long they're going to wait until they release raids, you know, 1, 2, 3 weeks maybe. You know, however long they wait, we have to spend all or most of that time making sure every one of our characters is geared up and ready to go. Mostly our main character, whatever we decide is our main character, but you never know. Some players are more min-maxy than others, like even in the top end guilds, like there are players who just don't put as much effort in all the time and or just can't, you know, and whatever. But it's nice to have that buffer in case your spec gets like tuning changes in the first week of raiding, you know, that all of a sudden your spec is no good because of some crazy tuning changes, and you know, you need to fall back on something else. And so I don't expect that time for other games. But if I did, it'd probably just be a casual Overwatch game or, you know, Hearthstone every now and then.
Yeah, I feel like I've been in the alpha quite a bit lately, and I have actually done most all the zones. I've got a demon hunter up to 110. I've got a couple other ones that I've, you know, I got a monk up to 108 or 107, and I'm really kind of, you know, hitting the point where I'm like, I don't want to get too far ahead of this experience to where when it finally does come out, I'm like, I'm over it.
Yeah, no, that's the exact same reason I'm not putting a lot of time into like Overwatch. Is I played it a good bit before they introduced like the leveling system, you know, with the and then after they introduced that, I didn't get very far because I'd already spent so much time prior to that. And I don't want to spoil it for when, you know, they start releasing new heroes slowly and a bunch of other people get the game and they fix matchmaking and all this stuff, you know. Yeah. I don't want to get burnt out in the game so early when it's still
I agree.
Flux.
The matchmaking was just weird too, because I don't know. With this stress test that they just did, I felt like I had a lot more fun with that pool of players than I did in most of the other testing
yeah,
so
far. Yeah,
I think
that's fair. I think that's true.
But and it didn't hurt that after we called it an early raid last week, and we all went in as a group
that's
and
nice.
Just queued up, you know, custom 6-on-6 and just all just destroyed each other, and it was
that was a lot of fun.
Totally awesome.
We had a in-house in-guild tournament where it was like a Fowry custom game tournament, and so we had themes for the different games. Like the one of the first games was we had like six teams participate of, you know, or was six people, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, six people. And we did things like, all right, everyone has to pick the same character except for one person.
Oh my gosh.
So nice. A game like, I think it was all Winston's and a Lucio versus, what was it? Was it Reinhardt's and a Mercy? And then the next game, we all picked Winston's and they all went Reapers and we just got destroyed. And, you know, it's just stuff like, and then there was a girls only kind of match where you had to pick a girl. And then there mm-hmm. was a match where you had to pick a robot. And it was just, you know, it's just fun changing it up. It was fun to a point. I don't particularly like that version of Overwatch because I think part of the fun for Overwatch for me is that you get to change a character whenever you want.
Right.
And so any game that kind of limits that choice, it's kind of like, oh, well, whatever. It's not the same game, I guess, for me, but definitely fun to do with friends. Much more fun to do with friends.
Totally is, yeah.
Like most Blizzard games.
Well, I think that might have already answered this question, but besides Warcraft, what is your favorite Blizzard title?
Yeah, I'd say it's probably Overwatch.
Yeah.
Really close, Hearthstone. Mm-hmm. They're very different, obviously, and you know I play them depending on different moods. Like if I just want to chill, relax, and you know spend some time not doing anything, just play Hearthstone. But if I have somebody who wants to play Overwatch, or I just feel like playing a shooter, it's really fun.
Mm-hmm. Hearthstone actually coming out with a pretty legit version of the app on your phone was like a kind of a game changer, I think.
Oh yeah, I have it on the phone. It's really nice. This is one of the first things I installed on when I got my new phone. I got the Hearthstone app, and it's nice. It runs. I expected it to be like really clunky, but you know, and hard to use. But it's pretty smooth, and I like it.
It works, man.
Yeah.
I mean, if you know, there's a certain expectation that you know how the game interacts and what a lot of these cards do, and
yeah.
you know what you're going to get when you put this down and where you know you're going to buff this or do that. There's a certain kind of like you want to know that going into it, because if I just picked this game up on my phone and didn't know what I was doing, it would be probably a different situation. But
yeah, I
can attest to that.
Yeah, that's a work in progress. What's your favorite thing to do in game right now? Then, since we've kind of been. Talking about there really isn't a whole lot, right?
Yeah, so I don't spend a whole lot of time in WoD anymore. Pretty much all of my time in WoD now has been log on Tuesdays, kill Manoroth, Mythic at Manoroth, Mythic Archimon, and then that's it for the week.
Okay.
We do that for we have a group that does those two bosses, and then that it's usually on like alts who want ring upgrades or people want trinkets or whatever it may be.
Mm-hmm.
And then they swap to a full group who does the whole clear of the raid instance.
Mm-hmm.
And I just don't participate in that just because I'm kind of, I just don't like the state of the game at the moment, especially as a healer when we're three healing the entire you know, raid.
Well, and if they don't need you, then that's nice. You don't have to, you know.
Yeah. And even today, like
driving
I was going
into the
to
ground.
Have to raid today. And I was going to ask, you know, can someone take my place? But someone beat me to it and just randomly he just asked, hey, do you want to sit tonight? I'd like to, because he's in the other group, the full run group,
mm-hmm.
but he usually doesn't participate in the short group. And he's like, hey, do you mind sitting in the short group so I can, I'd like to play my character, I'd like to play Discipline and I want to get a trinket or something. And I was like, yeah, sure, it's no problem. Like, I don't mind not doing it. It's not a huge deal right now. You know, we've done that boss so many times. It's
mm-hmm.
kind of sickening. It's not even, and the thing is, like, I wouldn't mind doing a challenging boss over and over and over. I don't particularly mind like Manoroth, because I think Manoroth can still be challenging to even, you know, a very seasoned group, because one mistake can really screw you over.
Mm-hmm.
But Archimon's just kind of a joke at this point, so it's not exactly fun to do that a bunch of times.
It's hard to keep something challenging when the difficulty level is static.
Yeah, and that's a conversation I've had with like people and devs, and just trying to figure out how do you, especially from a healer point of view, how do you keep fights from becoming trivial so quickly? And, you know, we have a very extreme example with Hellfire Citadel with, you know, not only the huge eye level upgrades through Warforged system and sockets, but also through the Valor upgrades and then the ring topping it all off. As well as, you know, all these crazy trinkets that just do insane amounts of damage. You know, it all adds up and all culminates into this big, you know, cluster of huge buffs in burst scenarios, and we all know how that works. You know, it removes mechanics from these fights that were, you know, Archimonde was considered, is considered, or I guess was, the hardest boss, one of the hardest bosses at least has ever put in the game. And now it's a joke. You know, when I first heard that somebody one healed Mythic Archimonde, the final boss in the most recent raid tier, what's going on with this game? Like, what happened? I think it was at that point that I was just like, well, I guess that's done. Like, healing is kind of not important anymore.
Right. Do you know what class it was?
It was a monk. And it required it does require a lot of coordination. You need classes like Boomkins, you need classes like Shadow Priest. I'm not sure
With a little bit shaman. Of off heals.
Yeah, it's the off heals from the, just, you know, the Nature's Vigils and the Vampiric Embraces and, you know, just high raid cooldowns, Rallying Cries, you know. Mm-hmm. All that stuff helps a lot to doing that. And when you're killing boss so quickly, like I said, he does less mechanics. And phase three, his final phase, whatever you call it, phase whatever, there's really no dangerous, like, there's no healing danger in that phase. Like, you could one heal that phase with any healer and you'd be just fine. There's no danger there, and that's kind of, you know, it's just kind of depressing to think about it.
That's mythic, man.
Yeah, exactly. You can't do that.
Yeah,
should be allowed. But I have been spending a lot of time on Alpha in place of live, and, you know, doing dungeons, leveling up classes, and obviously a lot of the raid testing, which has been a lot of fun. I'm really enjoying the new fights, but I'm doing so with the with caution. Just because, like, as a healer, I enjoy fights that require you to heal a lot, you know, obviously, because I like doing the thing I chose to do.
Great.
And I remember, I'm always cautioned, though, now, after seeing Beastlord Darmak on the PTR, I think it was, and we tested him, and he was super hard. Like, I don't know if you remember Beastlord Darmak, he was the first boss in BRF. And when he came out in live and he released, he was, like, really easy. Like, he was crazy easy. His damage got reduced so much, his AoE damage got reduced so much from the PTR cycle to live, and we were really concerned about it, not knowing that he was going to get reduced so much. And so we were planning, like, double cooldowns for every AoE mechanic, and we were like, oh, I don't know what we're going to do for this one, we just don't have any cooldowns left, we're running out, we're running dry, and we got to the boss, and he was so easy, so that was really disappointing. it was really close. But it's just, I hope they don't do that to these bosses, because a lot of them are genuinely fun for healers. They did a lot of things right. They added a lot of mechanics that you can't avoid the damage from. You know, in WoW raids, they tend to have a lot of binary mechanics where, you know, it's pass-fail. If you do the mechanic correctly, you don't take any damage. If you do the mechanic incorrectly, you probably die or just take way too much damage to really survive whatever else is coming next. And, you know, I think in Legion, it seems like they're doing a lot of mechanics that happen frequently, and none of them are pass-fail. They're controllable in that you can, if you do the mechanic correctly, you take less damage, but you still take damage, and that still needs to be healed through. And I think that's a much better mechanic concept for healer to deal with.
Well, we're getting into the good stuff already.
I agree.
Shoot, do you want to hit that promo, and then we'll just...
This is Katsuki from Wowhead, as well as Antisocial Club on Hyjal and Acheres Death Knight Discord chat. You're listening to The Training Dummies with Rob and Daryl.
All right, if you have any questions or comments or just want to find out what we're doing, we're active on Twitter, at Training Dummies. Rob is at Rob Copeland, and myself, Daryl, is at Hend_TTD.
So we've kind of gotten into it a little bit already with the intro, but so we're going to get into the Healing and Legion stuff. Actually, the last time you were on the show, Monkio, we talked about, like, the basic raid healing concepts, stuff with knowing the fights and dispels. And actually, I believe the name of the episode was Meters Don't Matter, something to that effect, where we talked about, you know, well, for healing, you know, how the focus is on keeping people alive and less, you know, about the... Yeah, HPS or heals per second, or, you know, that stuff doesn't, you know, that stuff's always gonna to hold true. It's always gonna be the basics. So, yeah. Do you think going into the new expansion, do you think any of that is gonna change, or do you think?
I actually feel like it's kind of more pronounced in Legion. I know So from our basic list of, you know, just handling normal raid mechanics, having good UI, dispelling is hugely important, especially in Legion raids. You know, in Hellfire Citadel, there wasn't really a whole lot of dispelling. Mm-hmm. There was a couple, maybe, I can't think of the top of my head, at least one fight, I know. Maybe two with Manoroth, but beyond that, I think what you're doing now in Legion is you're doing all that, plus you're having to be more careful with your spell choices, and you're relying on other healers more. And what that ends up meaning is that you have to actually care less about the meters and care more about healing only when it's necessary. Because in Legion, the way it's tuned is mana is really tight. And so one of the big changes they made in Legion was that everyone has a fixed mana regen, which means that there's no spirit on gear at all in Legion. So your regen won't go up as you progress through the tiers, outside of things like, you know, trinkets that give you, have a chance to give you mana back on a heal. I'm not really sure how else they can do it. Maybe a trinket that increases your mana regen, you know, for a short period of time. They could do stuff like that to give you a little bit of extra mana, but it's optional. You know, you don't have the option of spirit, and so at a base, everyone has the same mana regen, and then things like talents and artifact traits might affect that, but what it boils down to is that if you play in Legion, like you play in WoD, where as a healer, where you're just spamming all your buttons all the time because you think you have infinite mana, you're going to go in, you know, under 3 minutes, and that's not good. I know I've been looking at a lot of logs for healers after every raid testing session, and what I see is, like, these pulls, their pulls don't go really go past 3 minutes. It's rare to find pulls that even go past 4 minutes. And I look at the healers and what they're doing, they're straight Like, you can look at their resources chart, and it just, it's a sharp line straight to 3 minutes, maybe 4 minutes. And it's really depressing because, you know, we've had fights where we go, granted, it's rare and it's difficult, and we're basically running on fumes at that point, but we have, you know, 9-10 minute pulls on some of these bosses, and it's because we understand that, you know, you have to rely on your other healers and the things they're doing. You have to let things like healing rain, efflorescence, and just generally hots do as much work as possible. You know, let the high HPM spells do all the work, because you don't have the mana to try and top the raid off by yourself anymore. I know in WoD it always felt like you could do that. You know, you felt like you were this badass, you know, power healer, and you could heal the raid up by yourself if you wanted to, just like, you know, one healing Mythic Archimon. But if you try to do that in Legion, I think you'll be very, very punished, which I think is a good thing. I think this is one of the, it's definitely the biggest change for healers overall. And I think it's one of the best changes they've received so far. So I'm looking forward to seeing how that actually plays out on live once all the tuning is kind of done.
Right. That sounds intriguing. I may give that a try after all. But have the fundamentals of healing changed in Legion?
Not really. I mean, you know, it's basically the same. Keep health bars up, dispel the bad stuff. Fear for the farm period of where you get sat. You know, it's just kind of... I hope they make changes to make that not a thing. But I think even in, like, I have an ideal scenario where that doesn't happen. It involves a whole lot of factors, which I don't want to get into, but even in my ideal scenario, I can see groups dropping a healer. You know, I think ideally I'd want like 5 healers in my Mythic raid, because I think that feels good for that raid size. But I could totally make an argument for dropping the 4, even if I got all the things I wanted in a raid, and for gear scaling and for mana regen and blah, blah, blah. So it's just kind of a problem that won't go away. And I think it is a fundamental part of healing. You have to kind of accept that your role becomes less relevant as fights get easier. But, you know, like I said earlier, the biggest change for healers is the mana changes. And, you know, just having to be really careful with the spells you choose. But not just the spells you choose, how often you use them is really important, too. So I think it's really important that every healer, you know, at least take a glance or have bookmarked some spreadsheet, just a simple spreadsheet that tells you this spell gives you X mana or X percent spell power healing per mana. And it's just a basic HPM calculation. And, you know, make sure you know which spells heal for the most for the least amount of mana, and try to lean on those as much as possible. Because, like I said earlier, you know, the meters don't matter kind of thing. You really don't want to be burst healing as much as you do in WoD, because you're going to go, What you really want to do is save that mana try and stretch as long as possible. That's when you're going to do a whole lot of healing. Right.
So there was a kind of a concept that it seems like it's come up almost every expansion that that they were going to kind of redirect healers, and healing was going to be this triage thing, and it was going to be like you couldn't just sit there and blow your mana. And, you know? And I remember when Cataclysm came out, like we would go in, you know, like five mans were all right, but man, the moment we got into heroics and Cataclysm, it was like shock. Do you feel like that's going to be the case again? Because I kind of think that's a mistake they don't want to make. And I say mistake kind of generically because people don't want to – that's not fun or attractive for somebody who's trying to get into the game to go in and just get wrecked, you know? Like if you walk into a five-man and walk into a heroic and it's like, it is super hard. What is this? This isn't fun. I don't like this, you know? Do you – And the same thing came up with, I don't know, I feel like every expansion so far. Well, you know, healing, we're going to do this now. Mm-hmm. We're taking spirit. Spirit's only going to be on some gear now. And you're going to have to be really mindful of your, you know, do you think that's going to really hold true? I mean, you're saying now that with the way that it's looking is that, like, you really, you're not going to be able to mess around. You're going to have to spend your mana exactly where it needs to be spent.
So I think what I'm saying about the mana regen changes, I don't think it would really apply. It does, but to a lesser extent in like a dungeon, a normal dungeon or a heroic dungeon. In those scenarios, they don't seem too difficult and they don't seem to last very long. And so your, you know, kind of knowledge of the HPM of every spell doesn't really matter as much. You know, you hit every button that you need to hit in order to keep people alive. I think that's how dungeons are going to kind of work out. Now, once you start breaking into the mythic and mythic plus dungeons, whatever they decide to call those, you know, the rifts, the greater rifts of WoW, and you move into creating content,
dungeons.
I think that's definitely, it seems like it's going to hold together, but I think it's very much, boss dependent. So like in Heimal, for example, like you said, they promised us this triage mechanic and you weren't going to have a whole lot of mana because spirit wasn't going to be on all the pieces of gear. And in Heimal, it did kind of feel like that. You know, you look at, I think druids were a perfect example where they had to take different talents because their mana regen was so low. They were taking, I think it was called Dream of Cenarius, where, you know, when you cast Wrath, which is free, it would heal the target for like 150% of the damage it did. And they were very picky about their spell choices. And other classes were the same. They had to be very careful. And it felt a lot like Legion healing. Mm-hmm. The problem was that when you moved into BRF, you know, you got all these spirit trinkets that had like 700-800 spirit on them. And it ruined the whole point. You know, and your gear went up a whole bunch. But I would say even with all that, even with the gear scaling crazily, and having all the spirit on the trinkets, for example, a fight like Blast Furnace still felt really good to heal. It still felt dangerous because of the mechanics it had. It wasn't a binary mechanic. The blast mechanic would do consistent, you know, high AoE damage.
Mm-hmm.
It was throughout the entire fight, too. It didn't stop. And so it overlapped with mechanics. And so you had Blast going off, which was dangerous by itself. You had Volatile Fire, I think it was, going off on specific people, which was a huge hit on, you know, 3, 5, however many people it was, depending on how many flame colors I think the head was called you hit up. And then the boss was hitting the tank for a lot of damage. You know, and then the first boss had an aura damage on one side of the raid. So it was a bunch of healing that you had to do. You couldn't avoid it. And even in that fight, we felt like we had to do that triage healing. So even after the gear scaling went out of control, the boss design was so good for healers, that we still felt like we had decisions to make, you know, intelligent decisions to make about not only who to heal, but how much mana to spend on them. You were planning out your resources. You were looking at the boss's health. You were looking at your mana and you're saying, these mechanics are coming up. What can I spend? What cooldowns do we have coming up? All right. The druid's got Trank. I can save my mana during that. You know, those kind of decisions you made constantly, and it made the fight a lot of fun. These are the kind of decisions a lot of DPS classes make, you know, on every fight, and it's rare that healers get it. And what they say is, you know, oh, you're gonna like this fight, this is the healer fight. It's like there's 13 bosses in this one healer fight. Like, come on. Like,
all right, guys, pay attention. This one's for you.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, don't miss this. This is it. It's all you get. And, I don't know. It's just, I think, and like I was saying earlier, the way these Legion fights seem to be designed, not all of them, but most of them, and so it's very encouraging, seem like they're designed a lot like Blast Furnace, where they have these mechanics that you can't avoid, or at least the damage you cannot avoid. And so it forces you to have healers. And I think one of the best examples was Cenarius. Spoiler. And he had a mechanic that does like thorns damage. So the more you hit the target with thorns, you deal damage to yourself. So as DPS goes up, they're taking more damage. And so healers have more stuff to heal, even though their power is increasing as well. So I really like that mechanic. I know a lot of DPS don't like it, but as a healer, I enjoy it because it gives me more stuff to heal, especially as a fight goes into the farm period.
Right. Does each class still have its own style of healing, different from the rest? And by that, I mean, Rob has mentioned to me numerous times, you know, he's played through a lot of the characters in Alpha, and all the DPS seems to be almost homogenized. It's all build a resource and then spend it. You know, shamans are now build maelstrom, and there's build maelstrom abilities, and then there's spend. And then, you know, the warlocks, build your soul shards, spend it. You know, just like rogues have always been, build your combo points, spend them. Is that happening to healers, or are they still different in their style? You know, Resser Druids, your hots, shamans were with the AoE, disc was your shielders, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah, I think there's some specs that actually do still hold very unique methods by which they deliver their healing. You know, like you said, discipline used to be shielding, but it lost that kind of identity in the way that it does its healing. But it gained a new identity. It gained a healing through damage. You know, it's not a overall new identity. Like they had that in Siege.
In Mists. Yeah.
The heck.
And then
I can't remember the name of the sticky mechanic now.
Atonement.
Atonement.
Yeah, it's the same name. So they just brought it back, but like, they had it in MOP, they lost it in WOD, but monks gained it in WOD, and now monks lost Eminence it in Legion, and then just kept it back. But it's much more powerful, I think, in Legion than it was in MOP. They're doing so. They what disc brings is, you know, high overall consistent damage as well as high overall consistent healing. But they, you know, they lost that whole. They didn't lose absorbs. They still have absorbs that are, you know, can be useful, especially on tanks. And predictable mechanics, but their identity is certainly a DPS healer. And then you have a spec like Resto Druid, who's, you know, definitely a hot base class. The vast majority of their healing is funneled into hots, and I think that's a very unique mechanic. And one of the reasons I decided to play Druid is because I feel like it's very much a prediction at this point, but I feel like if the Legion fights stay as they are, and we haven't seen many mythic fights, so I assume they'll only get harder. People will be spending a lot less time at full health. You know, it's those promises coming back. You know, it's hoping that we won't be at 100% all, you know, 80% of the time and 10% the other 20% of the time. You know, it's that hope that people won't be topped off all that often, and it gives hots their time to heal. Mm-hmm. And I think druids really shine in those situations. And that's what I've seen so far in Legion, so... that's why I think Resto Druid's really good, and they have a unique method to deliver their healing. Paladins still have beacons, which are still, you know, moderately strong. Shamans still have a lot of their throughput kind of condensed into cooldowns. You know, so Spirit Link, Healing Tide. I don't think they really take Ascendance anymore, but and then you have Holy. Holy Priest. Holy actually got a big revamp in the way they do their healing. They're very much single target focused now with
not the chakras and the
Well, they still have they don't have the chakra stances anymore, but they have the holy words now, whatever they're calling them, miracles or something, whatever it is. I know it's like holy word serenity and holy word sanctity, or I think that's what it's called. And they're like big cooldowns, so one's a big single target heal and one's a big AoE heal, but they've got big cooldowns, which is reduced. The cooldowns are reduced when you cast certain heals, and so the single target burst heal is reduced when you cast, you know, kind of weaker single target heals, and similarly for the big AoE heal.
Okay.
And their design, their playstyle shifted dramatically, and so they're now like one of the kings of single target healing. And that's a really good identity to have, because there may be some fights where you just need to heal tanks a bunch and the raid doesn't take that much damage, and that'd be very good for that.
I was just going to say, do you think we're going to move back to, classes that specialize in tank healing then? And, you know, you've got these spot healers and tank healers and...
It's really hard to say because we've been looking at a bunch of logs trying to figure things out and, you know, understanding that it's still, I won't say very early anymore since we only got 4 months left, but it's still early to make any conclusions, but you have Guardian Druids doing like 300k DPS, which is a substantial amount. It's not top in the meters, but it's really good. Plus 300k HPS, which is a lot. So the Guardian Druids are healing themselves as much as the healer heals. Any one healer heals the raid, if not more. Mm-hmm. And so I know one of the main goals they had for tanks was to reduce the amount of healing the tanks do themselves, and even make their active mitigation more rewarding. But you know, we won't go into that. But you have like Death Knights, which I'm fine with Death Knights healing for a lot. That's kind of their fantasy. But now Druids are basically healing themselves on their own.
With the frenzied regen and yeah.
But I don't know. It's hard to say if we'll need more tank healing. They're trying to reduce the amount of passive tank healing the healers do. But you know, things like Life Bloom Hot and other hots still do a massive amount of tank healing. Beacon still exists.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we'll see how that all plays out. But the only one that really, and unfortunately for me, stands out is not having having a niche in their healing, you know, a very unique way to deliver the healing is Monk. I feel like they're very much kind of like the everyman healer at this point. Their changes made them very versatile. Yeah, exactly.
Well, what do you think then about the losing the eminence? If that's kind of shifting over to Disc Priest, I mean, I kind of understand that, but that was also a really strong part of the identity of Mistweavers.
I do agree that a lot of people picked up Monks because Mistweavers specifically, because they wanted to be that damage healer. You know, that was kind of the identity they were sold on. That's what a lot of people said. We were sold this spec as a damage healer, and that's what I want to do. And it was really not until WoD where it really took off and was actually a huge thing, being really powerful. But a lot of people latched onto it in WoD, and it was very strong, and they made an identity out of that. They said, all right, I'm the DPS healer. And they took it away without very good reasoning, and you know, they didn't really push their fantasy for that very hard, and they just kind of let it hang in the air. And a lot of people were upset about that, but I think that even if Monks got that back, for one, it had to be weak, like really weak, like much weaker than Disciplines, else you wouldn't bring Discipline to a raid over a Monk. Mm-hmm. Monk could do the normal healing as well as the DPS healing. I think they would, if they brought it back, it would have to be in like a cooldown, in a form of a cooldown. Mm-hmm. And that could be Monk's kind of unique thing. Like they just do healing and their healing is good. Like tuning wise, obviously tuning isn't complete yet. You know, we'll say that until even after release is here. But outside of tuning, you know, Monks need to bring something that no other healer brings. And I feel like that could be burst damage. Like they could maintain the Monk's identity as a damage healer, but not have it step on Discipline's toes. You know, they actually, Monks have a PvP talent right now on Alpha. Obviously, you can't get it for PvE stuff, but it's like a 45-second cooldown. You do 50% increased damage for 15 seconds, and 200% of the damage you deal is transferred to like two or three nearby players. And it's it like brings back that fist weaving style, but only for a short amount of time. And I think they could fiddle with the numbers for a little bit and make it, you know, a very PvE viable talent, even if you don't want to make it like a passive or a baseline ability. I think it fits well as a talent and there's a good spot for it. And I think that alone would be like, okay, you know, we have this fight where we're just barely missing the DPS check. What can we do to bring more damage into this, like to kill a Zan faster, to burst his face faster? And it's like, dude, get the Monk to pop this DPS ability and you got it. Because you can't drop a healer for whatever reason. It's like the fight requires four healers and you can't drop a healer. But the Monk's got the DPS thing and that can be their identity, you know, in my mind. So I think right now Monks are just missing one thing to put them on the same super competitive level as every other healer. But they still are good, you know, they're still fine for 99% of players and guilds, you know, raids and stuff.
And we, even now as it is, we still, you know, we have a Mistweaver and he's always like, you know, trying to figure out, you know, do you guys need me to try to do more damage in this phase or what can I do to push it? And it makes a huge difference.
Oh, for sure. Like I remember we were doing Black Ant progression, and we were getting really close to a kill. And we ended up getting world third in that, and that was definitely a highlight of playing the game for me. But I remember as we were trying to kill the boss, and there was a lot of pressure to kill it quickly, and we had one attempt where we were like, we wiped with like 1 million health off, still left in the boss, or it was some relatively low amount of damage. And I thought, well, I've got a lot of downtime in the second phase. I could totally do that much damage in that time. And you know what? Next attempt, I started doing that damage and we killed the boss. Mm. Not saying there's a correlation there, a direct correlation, but obviously there's always, it's always nice to be able to contribute like that.
Right.
And think maybe it had a, you know, significant influence. So yeah, I think it's good that that was Monk's identity, and I'd like to see that brought back. They tried to do it with a talent, but I don't think it was really successful for reasons that I don't know. I don't think we're going to get into, but I do think each class feels, each healer spec feels unique enough that you know if you can find one that you'd enjoy.
I know you've kind of talked about this. I don't want to ask the exact same question, but is mana regen going to be the same across all the classes, or is there going to be any sort of dependency on abilities or?
Yeah, so some specs, I know for sure, there may be some I don't know, but I know for sure, like Druid and Priest, Druid has an artifact that gives them like 15% extra mana regen just passively, an artifact trait, and then Priest can take a talent that increases their mana regen.
Here's randomly this passive.
Yeah, well,
you know, I mean, I don't know.
It's a thing, right? Like, I know a lot of the passive artifact traits can be really boring. You know, the ones that say, oh, here, you have 10% more healing on this button. And it's like, all right, yay. I mean, it's good. You know, obviously,
bigger numbers make you feel better, but.
Yeah, and I guess they want it to feel like an extra form of character progression. You know, whatever. It's not, we can't change that. That's the way they're going with artifacts and, you know, whatever. But outside of that, some classes have talents that affect like the mana cost of spells. So monks have manatee, which got changed pretty drastically. Now it's like 1.5 minute cooldown. You pop it, and for the next 10 seconds, your spells cost half mana.
Mm-hmm.
Druids have innervate, which they can place on anyone, any healer, I think it is, and their spells are free for 10 seconds or whatever it is. And then holy priests have a talent they could take called Symbol of Hope. And they can just pop it, and for the next, I think it's 10 seconds, all healer spells are free. All the healers have free spells for that period of time.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously, these things have long cooldowns, except Manatee's 1.5 minute, Innervate's 3 minutes, Symbol of Hope is 6 minutes. And I think they did a good job of balancing that. I was really hoping that Rest of Druid Innervate couldn't be used on other players, but whatever. I guess that's not a big deal. I'm not giving that to anyone else. That's
going to be...
I need to spam my
room. No, they patched it in. I can't.
Beg for those, man.
Stealth nerf.
Man, I used to beg for those innervates from our other, from that druid healer we had. I was a pally healer in Cataclysm for a while during Blackwing Descent, and I remember, like, this was like just my first step into raiding,
raiding,
and
yeah,
I was
remember
just
that.
like, please get out of your iterate. Oh, sorry, man. Oh my god.
I think
used it on a DPS or something. I'm like, god dang it, dude.
On the mages. Yeah. Yeah, I think mana is going to be, you know, really, really tight in raids. At least that's what we've seen so far. And I have no indication that it's going to go up. Like, we're going to get more mana. It doesn't seem like it seems like they're happy with the way mana is right now. And I am too. I think it feels really good. You know, every spell you do feels impactful on your mana bar. You know, it feels like, okay, if I press too many rejuves, I'm going to go oom. So I need to figure out exactly where I'm going to put them to make sure that they get as much effectiveness as possible. And that adds, you know, another level of intelligent decision.
That also sounds like it'll scale a lot better. Like, you know, you won't just start out gearing everything to the point where...
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Like, it just doesn't matter anymore because you have so much regen and, you know, like...
Yeah, and a lot of people had a problem with that at first when they first... And I've heard these complaints die down, but the big complaints were that people were saying you could basically math out how many let's say, for example, on a druid, how many wild growths you would have in an encounter. Like, oh, you could only spend 20 wild growths in a 6-minute encounter. And because you know that, it's somehow less interesting, and it becomes more boring because you can predict exactly what you're doing. It's like, no, not really. That's a terrible argument. Like, the mechanics don't always happen the same way. You don't know who's going to get hit, and there's a lot of choices mm-hmm. being made that you can't just say you're going to get X amount of spells off in a, you know.
Well, yeah, just because you can cast this many in this amount of time doesn't mean that it works that way. You know, there's a phase where you get, or, you know, there's a, you know, phase two, you get teleported to this other thing, and you're, you know, you're not even doing, you're running away, and you're not even casting this, and, you know, I don't know.
Right.
Just, you know, there's so many variables that.
Yeah, you got to take into account people screwing up mechanics, which happens all the time on progression. Oh, that is progression, is screwing up mechanics. I mean, you're not progressing if nobody's screwing up mechanics. You're killing bosses. That's just what it is. You know, so you have to react to what's going on around you. That's why I like healing so much. Is you, which I know that's the next thing coming up. But you know, I think going back to the question, it feels like from our raid testing that everyone's kind of going at the same time.
Mm.
It really varies depending on the fight. You know, when
that's
we first
probably what they
doing
want,
it,
though, right?
I think so, and I think that's really good because, you know, we'd be doing a fight, and when we first started doing Legion testing, we were all playing like we were in WoD. We're just spamming all our buttons, like, oh, yeah, woo, just spamming everything. And we were 2-3 minutes flat, and we were like, oh, we need to make some changes. And we started talking amongst ourselves, like, all right, just let that flow. We'll let the healing rain do stuff, let the hots do stuff. And we started relying on each other more, and kind of not worrying about chasing the meters and more worried about, okay, do I even need to spend this mana? You know, that guy's health bar, even though I can't see the hots on him, I see his health bar going up. Do I need to heal him? No, I don't. So don't do it. Don't spend the mana. And so by doing that, you save yourself some mana. You indirectly save your other healer's mana. Because they didn't spend that map for nothing. It's just it's a team effort, really.
Well, if you're in the raid testing and you realize disc priests are just doing way better with mana, then next thing you know, you're stacking disc priests, or, you know, so other classes quickly become like less useful, I guess.
Potentially, yeah. I mean, I don't want to jump on that specific example, but, you know, every class has its weaknesses. Discipline in particular has, it seems really good. Like, if you only looked at logs, like, they are doing extremely well. They're doing a ton of damage, more consistent damage than any other healer, even though discipline is actually one of the lowest DPS of all the healer specs. The fact that they just do damage all the time is why their damage looks so high.
Mm-hmm.
And their healing is actually super high. I mean, they're definitely one of the top healers. Maybe closely followed by Holy Priest. it's kind of crazy, but they have discipline has a very glaring weakness in that it doesn't have a lot of burst healing. It doesn't have a healing cooldown. It single target makes them unable to do their atonement healing, meaning their whole niche of doing damage and doing spread AoE healing is lost. You know, so they definitely have weaknesses. I don't think you could have a raid full of disciplined priests. You know, even if they had infinite mana, it'd be kind of difficult to heal through everything. Maybe. You might be able to coordinate it with, like, if you had 4 disciplined priests in a 20-man raid, and each priest took one group. You know, that would be kind of crazy. But I think it's good to have a varied healing comp for a lot of practical reasons, such as gearing and having utility abilities for certain bosses. You know, we'll go over that in a bit, I guess.
Mm-hmm. I have a question here that's not in the notes, and it's kind of related to what we're talking about. So a couple expansions ago, they capped the mana pool at, I think it was 300,000 at the time. So you could no longer get a bigger mana pool by getting more gear. And now they're taking away. Yeah. So now they're taking away the regen as well. So now when you get new gear or better gear, your regen doesn't get better. So, do healers still feel like they're getting more powerful or better healers as they get new gear in Legion? Like, is there's still that feeling of reward and I got this gear and now I'm better?
So I think, I think the simple answer is like, yes, you do feel stronger because you get more intellect on your gear, you get more stamina on your gear, you get more secondary stats on your gear. And even though none of those contribute to how many of a particular spell you can cast. So, you know, you can't increase the number of wild growths, let's say, that you cast in a particular fight. But each wild growth feels successfully more powerful, which means you have to spend less mana healing through the same mechanics. So you can spend more mana elsewhere. Now, it's up to the fight design to really push you to be able to spend that extra mana. Otherwise, you're dumping that mana into, you know, kind of whatever DPS you can do.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So I think it was a good change that they, for both of those things, to not have your intellect, or, sorry, to not have your mana scaling anywhere, and to not have, because that allows them to introduce percent mana costs. Before, it was just like they had mana costs. Spells had mana costs. So
yeah.
This costs 45,000 mana, no matter what your mana is. And now it's, okay, this costs 8% of your mana because we know your mana bar isn't changing. And so it allows healers to kind of know what... your spells don't change in efficiency and power as you change up your gear. Power, definitely, but efficiency doesn't change.
Rank 4 chain heal.
Yeah, exactly. I didn't really like that.
Down ranking and all, lighted
my way through Burning Crusade, and it wasn't very fun.
Okay.
But yeah, so I think that those are good changes. And spirit... no more spirit or no more increasing mana regen outside of external sources like trinkets and stuff. But I think that's overall a good change because you still feel powerful because, like I said, your power still increases, your health increases, and then it's assumed that you're going to move on to more powerful bosses where you're going to need both of those things to survive.
Okay. These next two questions here, looking at them, they're very similar, so I'm just going to kind of combine them. excuse me. But what keeps you playing the role of a healer, and not even you specifically, but if people enjoy healing in Warlords, will they still enjoy healing in Legion? And part of the reason I'm asking this and why this is in here is I was healing in Warcraft. I've been healing since Molten Core. And prior to that, I was playing Dark Age of Camelot, in which I was a bard, and that's a healer in that game. So I was healing for 3 years as that. And that's part of why I picked Shaman when I came to Warcraft, because a bard had instruments that buffed your group. And I thought the Shaman was similar in that, you know, the totem has buffed the group. So that's why I picked Shaman when I came over. So really, I've been healing in these, in MMOs for, I don't know, 15 years, maybe 14, 15 years.
That's a long time.
Yeah. But I don't want to do it anymore. Something happened in this expansion that I don't enjoy it anymore, and I don't know why. You know, part of it is possibly the addition of Elemental Blast, and it actually, it's required to be an effective Shaman healer.
Oh,
in,
yeah, you hate that.
You know, I hated that, and I could never, I could never get it to sync in with my rotation well. Like, it just, it was just clunky, and so that was part of it. I know I joke about this all the time, but I don't think it's really the case, but we got another Shaman healer in our raid group, and she beat me on the meters all the time. So I joke that that's part of the reason why I quit healing with my Shaman, but but it's not really.
You got wrecked.
That's why we don't actively recruit monks, because I don't want any of them to out-heal me.
Exactly. So I don't think that's the reason, but it's, I'll throw it out there. But I don't know what it is. So what's something that would draw me back into healing in Legion? And you know, why do you keep healing? Why do you want to keep healing in Legion?
Right. So I think, you know, to answer the question of what would draw you back into healing, I think you would have to just kind of soul search and figure out exactly what it is you didn't like. I can give you my reason. I don't particularly like healing anymore in WoD. I liked it in Heimal. I loved it in BRF. And then Hellfire Citadel kind of spoiled it for me when you get these trinkets that just allow you to have basically infinite mana. And when you're a healer and you don't care about your one and only resource, well, suppose you can call it half your resource, you have mana and you have globals, but that really only applies when a fight is actually testing your globals. A ton of fights in Legion in WoD are just like you sit on your hands for, you know, 60-70% of the time, and then the other 40-30% you're bursting your butt off healing, you know, you're just spamming up every button that you have to try and survive. And I don't particularly like that playstyle because it encourages you know, just cooldown stacking, which isn't fun. A lot of mechanics, especially in Hellfire Citadel, are basically just completely covered by a Tranquility or a Healing Tide Totem or, you know, Spirit Link Ascendance, and, you know, those kind of things just, they remove mechanics, or better way of saying it is, they remove healer gameplay. Mm-hmm. When, let's say, Gorfine, for example, when he's doing his Feast of Souls, if a druid has got Heart of the Wild, or if he's just tranking, I could take my hands off the keyboard as a healer and it wouldn't make a difference because that those cooldowns are so powerful. But it's also some healers like shamans have really just high natural burst healing. And for classes like Monk before they got their crazy four piece and maybe even Holy Priest, those don't have very high burst healing. And so they kind of fell behind to a point on those specific type of mechanics. And so I didn't enjoy that part, but the thing that really killed me was just having infinite mana. And you don't have to think about what you're doing. You just hit, when I play my monk now in the raids, I just hit my buttons willy nilly. I don't care about, I don't even look at my mana bar. It's not a thing I care about. And so that's really boring to me because I don't have to think anymore as a healer. I don't have to make any more intelligent decisions about who I heal or how much I heal. I can spam Rushing Jade Wind the entire fight and I'll be good on mana. And there doesn't have to be damage going out. If you did that in WoD, you'd be done. Or, I'm sorry, in Legion, you'd be done in a minute. And you wouldn't have mana for the actual part of the healing in the fight. So I think if you're in the same boat as me and you don't like that style of healing where it's just spam and no thinking, I think Legion will be a good thing for you if that's what you want back. You know, if you want to challenge yourself as a healer, I think Legion's a good place for it. You know, if you want to feel like your decisions matter a lot, then I think Legion's going to be a good place for it. I continue healing regardless of the state because I just enjoy the variability, I think that's a word, of healing, the role of a healer. You know, it's never the same. The same people never take damage. I played a DPS for a while, and it just kind of got boring for me because I could basically plan the fight out in my head, okay? 30 seconds in, this adds... I'll spam all my buttons, and then 30 seconds in, this adds spawns, and I'm going to use my cooldowns this exact second, because if I do that, then when the fifth add spawns, you know, what is it, 150 seconds later, then I'll have the cooldowns back up for that, and it felt very... it felt too planned, you know, and I don't like things that are planned. I like a very dynamic environment, and that's what healing brings to me, is a very... I don't know what's going to happen... necessarily. Like, I can plan for it and say, okay, this is probably going to hit a few people. I don't know exactly who, so I just have to react to it when it happens. And not only are you reacting to the boss stuff, you're reacting to your own procs and, you know, in Legion, watching your mana bar. And so all that together keeps me interested in playing the game, which I'm not really in Hellfire Citadel at the moment.
So how important do you think that certain healing specs or classes are going to be for progression? Because we heard a lot through Warlords about how Holy Pallies were just like the jam. Everybody loved it, but we never had one on our team, and we did all right. Do you think there's maybe an advantage to doing the whole flavor of the month thing? Or
so this is a really big topic amongst healers is basically utility. You know, what do they bring to a raid that's that makes them desirable as a spec? And I know this conversation was huge in WoD, and I was a big part of it, saying that my argument was that healer utility, when I define utility as something you bring to a raid that's beneficial, but it's not healing related. You know, so a thing like a stun or an interrupt or you might even consider a damage reduction cooldown part of it, but maybe that's kind of borderline. But anyway, I remember there was a blue post. I don't remember who exactly it was, but they made a very good point that I agreed with for once, saying that classes like, or specs like Holy Paladin and Discipline and Shaman, they weren't necessarily brought for their utility so much as they were for the way in which they delivered their healing. And what that means is like you have... Discipline had the absorption mechanic, and that was very unique. It was, you know, they could prevent a ton of damage from going out on, you know, critical members of the raid or really anyone. And that was very unique and was very strong. They were the only ones who could do that, so you wanted at least one, and they didn't overlap very well, so you only wanted one. Holy Paladins did insane amounts of passive tank healing while also healing the raid. They were very good at just kind of keeping your tank alive while also keeping... you know, single targets in your raid alive. They didn't have a lot of AoE healing, but they did very well, like, you know, healing a single debuff or, you know, just kind of spot healing the raid, and it made them very strong. And two paladins, I mean, you basically didn't have to worry about the tanks at all, which is amazingly helpful for certain fights. And then resto shamans were very, like I said earlier, a lot of their throughput is condensed into these cooldowns. And again, as I said earlier, a lot of WoD fights, especially Hellfire Citadel, were very bursty, and so cooldowns took care of a lot of what was going on. And so shamans are really good at that, and that's why you ended up with this like holy trinity of healers that you wanted in every comp. You had the holy paladin, discipline priest, and the rest of the shaman, and then your last spot or two could be filled by whoever because you already had the, you know, the basics covered. And I think, like you said, a lot of guilds, the vast majority of guilds, can get away with any comp, and you could mostly and do just fine, you know. I mean, like, you couldn't run 4 disc priests in WoW. That would have been really difficult because they didn't actually do a whole lot of healing. But that's a very specific example. Like, you could have ran 5 shamans or, you know, 4 holy paladins, which would have been difficult. But you could do it, you know, depending on how fast you want to progress. I think what it comes down to is what limitations you put on yourself as a guild. Because, like, you look at the top-end guilds, and they're always going to try and pick the best healers for every situation, for using healers as an example. You know, they're always trying to min-max their comp. They're going to say, okay, even if, let's say, Druid is only 5% better than Monk, if you have a player who can play Druid as well as they can play Monk, they're going to say, play the Druid.
Yeah, right.
Mm-hmm. And for, like, that requires you to play the class at, like, 110%, you know, proficiency. And most players can't do that. Like, I know it's not a nice thing to say or whatever, but it's true. I can't do that, probably. I don't want that. Like, I know there are things, like, in Legion testing that I'm playing poorly as a Druid, because I haven't played Druid in a long time, and I'm still learning how to play it. But I know that it's still very effective. But getting back a point, like, when players in lower-ranked guilds see the higher-ranked guilds doing specific comps, or in particular not taking certain classes, they start making assumptions that even the top-end guilds might not even say. You know, like, no guild took Holy Priest, basically, any of BRF, and no top-end guild took Holy Priest to BRF or Hellfire Citadel fights. And so everyone makes this assumption that Holy Priests don't do any healing, when that's just simply not true. Their throughput is completely fine. The problem is their particular toolkit didn't mesh well with the type of mechanics that were going on in the bosses for progression. You know, for progression, you want a lot of cooldown stacking. You want a lot of, you know, defensive cooldowns. You need a really good tank cooldown. You need a good raid healing cooldown. You know, a Holy Priest was just kind of average at all that. And so while any guild that didn't really care about completely min-maxing, you know, their comp, they could do fine with a Holy Priest. And you wouldn't notice a difference. Like you said, you know, everyone said you need a Holy Paladin. You need a Holy Paladin. You just need it. You have to have it, or you may as well not raid. You know, that was like an opinion people had. And it blew my mind. It's like, no, you don't. Like, yeah, they're really good, for sure. That, you know, anyone who told you Holy Paladins weren't good was just lying to you, like, or they just don't know what they're talking about. But to say that anything was necessary is just incorrect. You know, you put these limitations on yourself as a guild, and not saying it's right or wrong, but it's up to you, you know, what you deem necessary.
We're pretty about as casual as a casual raid team comes, you know, once a week for 3 hours. We made it this entire expansion, cleared every boss before the next raid came out, cleared everything. And we even, in a pretty timely manner, cleared Hellfire Citadel heroic. And as, you know, as our team, without a Holy Paladin, without, you know, without any of the, we had a DK tank, you know, and it was like, we got through it. We did it fine. So I don't really subscribe to the you must have this, but I do think there is something to be said, like, you know, the balance pendulum does what it does, and some classes shine during some patches way more than
for sure
intended, even, you know.
Yeah, and there's no denying that. And it's just a trickle down effect. Like I said, that's a very powerful effect, especially in the raiding community. Like, you see these, like I said, you see these top end guilds do stuff, and then the next lower end guilds start doing it because they saw top end guilds doing it, and you know, it just kind of copycats its way down, it cascades its way down. But it, you know, it doesn't mean it's right. It doesn't mean it's necessary. You have to do it. But on the flip side of that, because that's my argument, that you shouldn't have to feel like you're doing that. Like, my argument was originally, well, if you're not competing for, like, such a high rank and you're not so pressured for time like these top-end guilds, you shouldn't feel like you have to min-max. But someone corrected me or presented me with an argument, and it changed my outlook on it, saying that, well, there's a lot of guilds that aren't top-end but still push, maybe for not as much time. You know, they don't push as hardcore, but they still care as much about their ranking and their min-maxing as any top-end guild. And so they want to know what those things are. And so they still impose those restrictions, those limitations on themselves. And so you have to kind of consider all different types of groups all across the progression scale, you know, before you, when we're talking about this kind of stuff.
We talked too about how when you, people see the comps and the strats and whatnot that the top end guilds use, but they don't understand often that, like, well, this mage took this talent at level 60 that people don't normally take because it's not a preferred talent or a bad talent or whatever. Well, they took that because for this one phase of the fight, they're trying this thing. And then the healer took this talent to compensate for that thing. Like, there's just so many weird things that, like, people don't understand. They don't see. All they see is
they had
two monks and a holy pally and they did this. And so, like, there's just this whole other piece of the rating scene that I think a lot of people don't understand. So when they're saying, well, this is required, you need this, I think sometimes there's not really a complete understanding of why people are even doing things, or, you know, like, if you've got the time to raid at that level and to do things, you know, on a professional level, I guess, like, you get to try these crazy things and do these. So I don't know. Like, I guess that plays into the healing thing too. You can't always mimic what you see.
No, absolutely not. That's so correct. And, you know, there's so many variables with healing. I remember people were questioning me on Gorfine, asking me why, as a Mistweaver, why am I DPSing during the Feast of Souls? You know, it's like, why are you not healing? And they just didn't. They don't know what we discussed in our healer team. You know, mm-hmm. they don't know that we discussed, okay, we have enough cooldowns to carry us through this, and they don't know that I've tried healing and I've tried DPSing, and I found that DPSing was nearly as effective as healing while also adding, you know, a ton of additional damage. But mm-hmm. you know, just that, using that as an example, it's, you, like you said, you don't know everything that these groups are discussing and figuring out. Maybe they have special circumstances that maybe they couldn't get a second holy paladin, that's why they're not using two. Or maybe they don't know any Mistweaver monks, that's why they didn't run one. Mm-hmm. You know, you just never know. And so if you only take these at-a-glance kind of conclusions, you know, you're going to kind of hurt yourself because you don't try things. But I think, you know, we kind of avoided the question, the originally posed question. So I guess I'll steer back towards that. So looking towards Legion, you know, I had mentioned in WOD that I didn't think the non-healing utility was really an issue or wasn't really a big thing, but I think in Legion it actually might be. Now that it seems like people aren't going to be topped off as much, there's a lot of consistent damage going out on the raid. It doesn't really matter how you deliver your healing. Actually, I take that back. I'd like to rephrase that. It shifted more in favor of consistent healing. So in WOD, burst healing was very powerful. And mm-hmm. it was very useful because a lot of fights had burst damage and mm-hmm. then, you know, very high periods of high highs and very low lows. But in Legion, you have a lot of just the raid's always damaged. And so classes like druids, quests like shamans, holy priests previously, not now, but maybe so. Any amount of healing that you could do that's very efficient and very consistent is really good. And pretty much every healer can do that. And so what it comes down to make a certain spec desirable is, what do you bring that's not healing? Since we're all pretty good at healing, what mm-hmm. do you bring that's not healing? And what we found in raid testing is things like, I think it's called Windrush Totem, which is basically like Stampeding Roar on a totem.
Right.
Hand of Protection, Hand of Freedom, AoE stuns, roots, knockbacks. Those things are actually showing to be really useful in like more than one fight in Legion. And so we're going to be looking at that and saying, okay, let's try and stack as many of those as possible without hurting our actual, you know, kind of healer diversity. And so for those kind of things, I'm really liking like paladins for, like I said, freedom and bop, and druids for the knockbacks and what's it, vortex, shamans for windrush, you know, discipline for its damage. Those things are actually really helpful to the group now.
So if you chose druid as what you're going to be going to now, then you feel like what the druid brings to the table is what you're looking for personally to play, or what your guild wants, or what kind of considerations are you making?
So my guild has never... My guild has only ever once, and not even as a guild, one guy asked me, but the guild has never pressured me or really any of our members to play a particular spec or class because it was, you know, slightly better than the one we were playing. There was only one point where I even considered playing anything other than a monk, and that was on like Tyrant Velhari, and we were really struggling on it, and we thought if I swapped from monk to shaman, we would have, you know, an extra cooldown to deal with her craziness. Mm-hmm. But I didn't do it, and we ended up killing the boss very shortly after that anyway, so it wasn't a huge deal. But, you know, we've never pressured our members to play anything. We ask, you know, hey, if you want to play something else, you know, we can make adjustments to suit you. But we never really tell somebody, you have to switch to this or you're not raiding. That's not the kind of attitude that we have. But for me, after experiencing Monk, I really enjoyed it in dungeons. I think they're really, really good in dungeons. I think that can be their, like... their holy grounds, or whatever you want to call it. You know, that's where they shine. And while I think they'll do fine in raids, I think they're in a pretty good spot for pretty much every fight. I just don't think for a competitive environment, I can justify bringing that over a druid. And not because they don't bring anything. They do bring really good stuff. Like some of the things I mentioned in that list earlier was AoE stuns and freedom. And monks have both of that. They have the best stun in the game via leg sweep, and they have Tiger's Lust, which is I think it still acts as a freedom plus a sprint. And that can be really useful in some fights. The problem with that is that neither of those things is unique, and the other healers that bring those things also bring other things, which makes those other healers more desirable than a monk. But, like I said, doesn't mean the monk doesn't bring anything. I just appreciate the uniqueness of what, let's say, the druid brings. And the style of healing with which the druid does its healing. Plus, they seem to be tuned really well. They're very mobile healers. I've made a lot of use out of like Vortex and Typhoon. I could have made good use of Roots. The affinities are really good. Like Guardian Affinity is just a passive 10% damage reduction all the time. Plus, you could probably tank a boss or an add if you needed to for a short amount of time. Like, they druids just feel really strong to me right now. And much stronger than Monk, on top of I don't particularly enjoy the new Monk playstyle in raids. I really do hope that there's people who do enjoy it. Like, I hope that the new Monk brings people to the spec, because God knows we don't need people just leaving, because it was already the least represented spec and the least represented class.
You look at, like, Demon Hunters coming in now, starting at level 98, like, yeah. that just doesn't help the Monk case at all, you know?
No, it really doesn't. And it's just, you know, I'm still Monkey. I'm still fighting to make Monks that competitive spec, even if I don't play it. Like, even if Monks get the things I want for them to be competitive and be like, that's a good option. You would want this in a competitive rating composition. Even if I got this, I don't know if I'd switch to it, but I still want to fight for it so that players who are really attached to their monks, like I am sort of, but just really enjoy the spec, can say, I get to play this and it's a competitive option. That feels really good, you know, and I enjoy the spec and I want to keep, you know, fighting. And I say fighting a lot, but I want to keep pushing for changes that push them towards that goal, because, you know, the whole point is it's a game and you want to have fun, but you also... you want to know that what you want to play is desirable and useful to a group.
Yes, that's the key thing right there. I think that people, I don't know why we always forget, like, it's have a game. Fun, man.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's,
what are you doing?
If I had to play, like what we, like I said earlier, like our guild has never pushed us to play things we don't want to play, because they understand that if you push someone to play something they don't want to play, they're gonna walk away. You know, they're not gonna want to play with you. Like, it's not a way that we want to. It's not a kind of requirement that we want to push over our members. We want that's kind of the environment we have, and that's why I've stayed with these guys for so long. Even though the rating is so difficult, the community that we have within our guild is just so good and so focused on having fun and not only enjoying the game but enjoying each other's company, that it just makes it worth playing still. You know, no matter what I'm doing. So that's just a really important note to keep in mind. Regardless, if you're not having fun either as a healer or anything else, you should probably think about doing something else, or just complain until you get your way with the dose.
Well, from what I understand, that doesn't work either.
So. You can. It's one of those things, be careful what you wish for, this kind of thing, you know? You may get change, but you won't get the change that you want.
Awesome. Well, Daryl, did you have any other?
I don't think so. I got a couple of extra questions in there that came up as we were talking, but I don't think I have anything else.
Well, Monkey, did you have any other points that you wanted to put out there?
I suppose I'd just like to repeat that don't make any huge decisions on what you want to play if you don't have access to alpha yet. You know, it's good to definitely look at like guides and, you know, like Rob was saying earlier, I think it was talking about Bellular making like people, mm-hmm. different people making class videos, just kind of going over the spec and how it plays. You know, don't pay particular attention to how much they enjoy it. Mm-hmm. Just try and figure out how it compares to how you're currently playing and see if you'd enjoy that transition.
I had this conversation with one of the guys in our guild last night, and he was like, well, yeah, I was watching Preach do his review on the Outlaw Rogue, and he basically was just taking a dump on it the whole time. And he's like, but I think it looks cool, and I'm looking forward to it. And now you're hearing somebody that you kind of respect sit there and go, this is garbage. And it's just like, wow, this is just alpha. You know, it's like, don't beat it up too much, you know, like...
Well, that moves very smoothly into my second point that I want to make, is that I have been saying a lot of negative things about Mistweavers in like my Twitter feed and stuff. And I know a lot of people have been kind of really sad to hear that because I was always so positive about it. Even when people were very negative about it all the way back in the WoD beta, people were very negative about Mistweavers. And I was one of the very few Mistweavers, you know, Mistweaver mains in the WoD beta. And so I was trying to tell everybody, no, I swear it's going to be good. And they were like, nah, you don't know what you're talking about. I'm like, no, just trust me. But that's all I had was just trust me. And it came out and it was really good. And so I've always been super positive about it, but I don't feel like I was ever unfairly positive about it. I feel like I've always rooted my arguments and my opinions, I guess, in some sort of evidence based on, you know, either what I've seen, you know, kind of anecdotal evidence or things I've seen from other players doing, you know, performing better than I am. There's a lot of players like that. And, but I just want to say that and make clear that for anyone who follows me for Mistweaver concerns and Mistweaver things, Mistweavers are going to be fine. Like, there's nothing right now inherently wrong with Mistweavers. There's no reason you can't bring a Mistweaver to a raid, even in a competitive environment. My comments are very much so from an extremely competitive environment where we're trying to go for these, like, as high as world first kind of kills, even though we're probably not at that point anymore. You know, so when I say stuff, it's at the most extreme, side of the spectrum. And for most people, and I mean the vast majority of people, Mistweavers will be totally fine. So if you enjoy the playstyle, like we said earlier, that's the most important part. If you enjoy the playstyle, play it. Mm-hmm. Don't listen to my negative ramblings. Just play the spec if you enjoy it. You can make it work. If you enjoy it, you'll make it work.
That's a good note right there. I mean, you came from a point where Mistweavers were really strong and really great, and it's hard to watch a class that you love all of a sudden get changed, you know, to lose some of their what kind of made them great, and now all of a sudden they're like, well,
their whole identity is just kind of changed. Not gone, it's just changed. And, you know, I just don't agree with the new identity, and that's fine. You know, hopefully, like I said earlier, there's people who do like the new direction, and I hope they really enjoy the class, and I'll always, you know, I'll be around to help them if they, you know, want help, because I'll always be following monks, and I'll probably have a monk alt in Legion. So, you know, I'm not out, I'm just kind of swapping over to a new main for competitive rating for that, you know, month or whatever it is that it lasts.
Yeah. Right. If you put in a month of work for like a couple of weeks of progression.
Exactly.
Well, if you guys have any email, want to send us an email to the show at thetrainingdummies.com, you can add to, wow, was this sentence always like this?
I think so. You tried to ad lib it and you screwed it up.
Yeah, I just verbally pooped on that. You can send us an email at the show, thetrainingdummies.com. We'd love to hear from you. We also have a voicemail on our website, or we have a Discord server. You can find all that information over at thetrainingdummies.com.
It seems fate has brought us together.
You have my gratitude.
We make a great team.
I'm sure glad you're around.
Well, if it ain't my favorite person.
You have your uses, don't you?
You have quite a talent there.
Together, our victory is assured.
Good enough.
All right, Rob, what do you got for shout-outs this evening?
You know, we are looking at moving to a new server. I think some of us are kind of burnt out with the PvP stuff in general, at least in terms of not having a choice of whether you're PvPing or not. So there's a fellow on Twitter, goes by Ivory Tiger. I'm on Earthen Ring right now. I have a guild over there, and he popped over and helped me out with some glyphs and just a couple of things. That was just really cool of him. So I just wanted to say thanks to him for the generosity. And definitely Jab and Justin for just all the kind of the shenanigans throughout the week that we just kind of have fun doing. You know, everybody in the guild and everybody who got to pop in and play Overwatch with us last week. That was super awesome. Daryl, what about you?
Yeah, to our raid team and guild that is currently on Deathwing, but next week might not be. and as you mentioned, quite possibly Earthen Ring. So big shout out to them. I want to send one out to Pink for being a better shaman healer than me. She's the one I mentioned earlier in the show that she didn't drive me away from healing because she was beating on the meters, but definitely give her a shout out because she is a much better shaman healer than me, and that's good. That's great. It allows me to DPS and not have to worry about bringing a healer anymore. And of course to Monkio for coming on the show this evening. This was a really great discussion. I will try healing again in Legion, I think, and see where it goes and see if I still enjoy it, or enjoy it again in Legion anyway. Yeah. So thank you very much for coming on this evening. Do you have any shout outs?
Well, it's my pleasure to come on always. I very much so enjoy talking about healing regardless of what's going on. So my shout outs would be just to my guild for having such great attendance for these raid testing sessions. For any like competitive guild that's looking to, you know, do the progression race, it's really important to see these bosses really early and for a lot of people to see them, because if you have to spend, you know, one attempt for every person to learn every mechanic, that's a lot of wipes. And so we really, you know, the guild appreciates everyone taking time out to, you know, show up to the raid raid testing. It's really nice. And also to From Software for making Dark Souls 3. That was definitely one of the best gaming experiences I've ever had. And I finally completed the game, all the bosses and stuff, yesterday. So
awesome.
Highly enjoyed that.
Nice.
100% recommend that game to everyone. It's so amazing.
Well, before we wrap this up, where can people reach you if they have more questions about this topic or anything else?
So my main source is a number on a bathroom stall. It's
555-867-5309.
There you go.
So you can find me in the Twitter at Monkio. I'm also in the Monk and Druid Discord channels. I tried to post the link in the notes for y'all, but they were expired. So
yeah, they're weird.
I can get those on request probably. So definitely find me in there.
Well, awesome. I believe that is done. 125 is done.
All right.
I am gonna improv this sentence here to you. Next week we have a Mag Delina again on the show. And so we're really excited about that. If you guys want to get involved with that, head over to our Discord. You can drop some questions in there. You can kind of see what we're up to before it happens. You can also find this or past episodes of the show over on iTunes, Stitcher, or thetrainingdummies.com. And remember, we're all just jackasses with mics. So until next time.
It's advice you can trust.
Woo, woo!
From people you shouldn't.
Woo, woo!